Good afternoon, and welcome to my presentation. I got in a rush, was a little bit late, but we're fine, we're still in time. And so my name is Tim Vermaelen, and I work in a web agency called LBI for almost 3 years. And actually what I'm doing is I'm doing a strong HTML, CSS, and jQuery. And I don't know if you know a little bit of CSS, so raise your hand if you do, please. All right, very nice. So, and typically for today, I wanted to talk about a project we've done at a Belgian ESP provider called Belgacom. And we've been doing a very cool project, very nice, a lot of CSS, a lot of Java as well. And for today, actually, I would like to talk a little bit more about rounded corners. Because rounded corners still, it's coming from a long way, actually. We've been doing it in very different ways earlier back in the days. And I feel like it's a little bit changing. So since I had the opportunity to work on this very nice project, I would like to show you how we implemented rounded corners on the Belgacom project. And it's typically CSS3, so I think it's a little bit more to HTML5, CSS3, and new technologies that we're actually interested in. So let's get started. So cross-browser, and then typically designs, of course. CSS3, jQuery, it's all in the mix. And that's actually what I'm good at, so let's see. Typically for this Belgacom project, we were working in a Scrum environment. And I don't know if you know Scrum, but it's a little way of working. It's a little bit different than the ordinary day. But Scrum in this matter was, for me, a new thing. It was more group-related stuff. We needed to have a daily meeting, for example. So a daily meeting wherein the designers as the developers were talking together. And also where, for example, a Scrum Master is actually the project manager. He had a little bit of a look over the whole thing, the whole process, and he was actually guiding a lot of the things. So, and then we also had a product owner. Thank you. We also had a product owner. And the product owner, for instance, he would make the basic decisions, final decisions. And then developer teams, we had to decide over the estimations, because everything that we needed to develop in order to reach our deadline was actually listed in a backlog. And the backlog for us was an overview of things we needed to get done in order to reach our deadline. So in the backlog for us, it was like our backbone, backlog, like it's the word says. And it actually just listed a lot of tasks. And in that tasks, we created a little bit more tasks where, for instance, a designer could make like a page layout. Then another task would go to the slicing, so people who were slicing the designs. Also database connections, stuff like that. And actually, that's what I want to show you. So let's show you the website. Here we go. Okay, so never mind, we'll show the website afterwards. I'll continue with some CSS, actually. So what I did, because on the Belgacom website, we use a lot of CSS, a lot of jQuery, and we all minified it because of loading issues also, not really issues, more basically because we needed to minify the loading time. And so I prepared a little demo website, as you can see here. And it has the basic features in there as well. And it's a little bit of a playground, so I can show you a few of the tricks that we use. And take note of the rounded corners in here, because rounded corners at the Belgacom project was like a main stream into the design. So design-wise, a lot of rounded corners, if we had to develop it in the old days, we needed to use background images, and background images for the top, for instance, or the bottom, and then stretching and stuff. So back in the days, we had a whole different approach of rounding down layers and buttons. As you can see here, with CSS3, it's a little bit more easy. So I'll show you some of the CSS that I prepared for you today. And it just starts with a basic reset. Famous Eric Meyer developed this, so you can find it through Google with Bing or whatever. Then basic HTML tags, of course, basic settings, but most importantly is the CSS3 border radius. So what I did is I just create some classes like round and round 10, and you can imagine you can go round 20 and round 25 and whatever is in between. And what we do is we actually approach several browsers at the same time, because CSS3, as you know, is not implemented on every mainstream, not every standard is using CSS3. So for the browsers that do use the standard, we need to approach those browsers specifically at the time being. It would be ideal that we could just use the border radius attribute, but at this time, and for cross-browser development, that's not the case. So what we do is we use some prefixes. So we have Mozilla and KHTML, also WebKit for Safari and Chrome. KHTML is for Conqueror, Mozilla for Firefox, and then the border radius here in the end. Oh, the O is for Opera, but it's not necessary anymore. It changed recently, so we can actually remove this one. And then this is actually where we all want to go, because the border radius itself, it's something that every browser should know to round down layers as we know it. And I just create a class, add it to a paragraph or a layer or a button or anything you want to round down, you can actually round it down. So let's take a look into the file. So I created an index.html, basic stuff, some JavaScript in here, so we need internet to access the scripting or jQuery, and it's still not there, but okay, it doesn't matter. So what you can see here, I created a wrapper. And I'll show you on the website as well. Ah, we're here. All right. So, okay, this is the website. Okay, let's not switch subjects. So I create a wrapper. This is my wrapper. And the only thing I need to say to my wrapper for rounded corners is I add the class round, or the round 10 class, and it will have perfect rounded corners on each corner. And it's basically very easy as that. But you can also do it with images, buttons, like you see on the top, and almost everything you can round down. So let's take a look on how it works cross-browser. So what happens if we switch from version? So now it's Internet Explorer 9. I actually like it because it's very fast. And also the website we were working on, we didn't develop it, or we never checked Internet Explorer 9, but it was working all the way through, so very good. And okay. So jQuery is undefined, wasn't able to find it. So maybe if we, nope, lost my internet connection again. Okay. So we'll wait for that. I'll show you the website for the moment. So, okay. So a lot of rounded corners. This is actually a website for movie profiles. You can create a movie profile, and you can create a movie profile. And once you've done it, you can basically rate movies, for instance, and there's a whole logic behind it, because once you've rated movies, the website is going to calculate some sort of a profile and will give you actually recommended movies. So it's a very nice feature, and also for Bell.com, of course, a very nice add-on. But for the design, it goes from rounded corners like everywhere. And like typically on the layers here, the inner rounded corners, the outer corners, the images, everything is rounded down. And of course it's a challenge, because in the Scrum methodology we had a little time to develop, to slice down designs, and with such an amount of rounded corners where the height needs to stretch, the width needs to stretch. I mean, creating background images is just not an option, because with background images you're actually fixed to the width and to the height that you've sliced down the image with. So CSS3 was a very good solution for us, and since we are able to use jQuery for making it cross-browser, it's a very good solution, of course, to keep CSS3 in the browsers who support it, and just to use jQuery when the browser doesn't support it. Then use a little trick. And the trick is actually that we downloaded a library. You can just Google it. And it's called cornerimage.js. I have it here somewhere. And I'll show you a little bit of the code in between. So as you can see here, we are actually checking. So we are actually checking whether the browser supports the rounded corner or not. Whether the browser supports most border radius, WebKit border radius, or border radius itself, and it's for every browser these days that we need to check if it supports it or not. But it's also a little bit of a new trend in JavaScript or jQuery development, is that you actually don't check for which browser is it, because that's what we did in the old days. We checked, is it Internet Explorer, is it Mozilla browser. We really need to step away from that and just investigate whether the browser supports the tagging or not. And that's actually what this script is doing very well, because it's actually going into the browser, the styling of the browser itself. It's going to check whether you can add most border radius or WebKit border radius, try to enable it to a div that we create here. And after that, we're just going to use an expression and try to add the most border radius to it. And if it doesn't support it, then it will return zero. If it does support it, then it can just continue using CSS3. If it doesn't support it, we need to do something else. And that's what we're doing here. So I'm not going too deep in there, because there's also a lot of mathematics and stuff. Like every setting has its mathematical function, but that's not the thing I want to talk about today. So I just want to make sure that every browser supports the rounded corners that we are needing or developing for. So as you can see, Internet Explorer 8, I just switched the version here on top. And Internet Explorer 8 currently is doing something, but it's not doing everything. So let me investigate what is going wrong, and you can think a little bit with me, of course. So what I did actually is I created two JavaScripts, one called scripts, one functions. And in scripts, I'm going to say, like, once your document is ready, that's actually what we are doing here. So I'll add a comment. Once the document object model is ready, we are going to load some functions. And I created some functions in functions.js. And for instance, we are going to animate unload the content, it's a layer, or the eject panel is just initializing. And then right here, this is where we actually can do other things. And for instance, add the jQuery library to our index. So I think I've done it already. So we just drag and drop the jQuery corner.js to our project. And after that, we just need to check which corners that we need to round down. So let's debug a little bit. So in my former design, these corners were rounded down, and I want to have the same. So content item, and it has a class round 10 on it. So for Internet Explorer 8, we have to do a little bit more. So I can think I can just copy paste it. So, and actually the jQuery now will take over for the rounded corners. So these corners, they will be rounded down right now. And actually what it does, it's creating extra layers, extra divs, and it's going pixel by pixel. And we can add a background color to it. So you have the nice effect that the corners are actually rounded down. And it's a very good solution for now. So, and hopefully this thing will pass, of course, because it's a quick fix. But for older browsers who don't support it, it's a very good solution. So in order to fix the other things, of course, it's important that we use jQuery selectors. And jQuery selectors, they work a little bit like CSS. So it's hot in here, seriously. So okay. So because actually the class round 10, we can do something like this, of course. If we just say round 10, then we have like every class. We use the function corner, we say 10 pixels, and something, let's go again, and so you see, actually, let me minify this one, and so you see what the script is actually doing in the corner itself. It's trying to add the background color, and also for every corner that has the class round 10 on it, it will do the same thing. But in here, in our example, we have a little problem with the background. So we need to add the background color to it. So, and I prepared actually a little bit of that for you already. So the header, for instance, it will just be rounded down 10. The navigation will do it all a little bit separately. And I can show you why, of course. So let's say we didn't do this one. So the script is trying to do everything or actually basically the same thing over and over again, but we need a little bit of tweaking in there. So in the tweaking, it will be actually more a little bit of a playground. So with this, it will work. Then for images, rounding down images, it doesn't work with CSS3 because an image is actually a display object, and it works different than a layer. There's no real stretching in there. You can, of course, add a width and a height, but the layer itself, it's not a layer. So it works different. And we have another library, and it's called the Imager, where we can actually round down the images itself for older browsers. And what happens here is that we are using the canvas object, and the canvas object is something new for HTML5, for instance, but also for older browsers it was already working in a way. So for images here, if I don't add the class, or I don't execute the script, I'm sorry. So okay, let's take a look. Let's take a step back. So we have a class image. There we add an image, and the image itself it's not rounded down. So I can show you. Or we can just do this, of course. So as you see, it's an image with squares. And the corner, the imager itself, it will round down the image and use a canvas object where needed. So it's a very good solution also for cross-browser, because any version of Internet Explorer or Firefox or Chrome or whatever can be handled in this kind of solution. And for the Belhacom project, it was very handy because we really needed a fast solution for CSS3, to use CSS3, to able to stretch the layers, to not make every background image. And so for us, in the Scrum environment where we didn't have much time, this was working very perfectly. So using jQuery as a backup solution for older browsers was actually for me a little bit new, because before I just used background images, and now in cross-browser environment we can work with CSS3 and jQuery. So, okay. Also animations, if we are talking about animations in jQuery, I prepared a little functionality where we just use a CSS selector, so we grab the object and then we just say like, look, we need to toggle, for instance. So toggle is a function of jQuery where you can use two functions. One where you hit the target, and one where you go out of the target. So, and let's debug it for a little bit, because it's actually quite nice. So the animate eject panel, it's this thing here. So if you click on it, it will go down and up. And let me put it back in Internet Explorer 9. Okay. And what is actually happening here is we can just use the Internet toolbar to do some script debugging. And so we have a better understanding of what's going on. And it just works like if you are developing in .NET or Visual Studio and you need to debug, it works with breakpoints. So once we are entered in our function, we can add breakpoints just like this. And inside every function, we can keep adding breakpoints as well. So, and if we do start debugging, what we will do is we need to reload the page. And as soon as the function gets executed, we hit our breakpoint. And we can actually see what is actually going on in the jQuery itself. So we use an original CSS, okay? So I need to know the original CSS where the object is starting. Let me just add watch. And then you can see that the value for the moment is minus 10 pixels. So minus 10 pixels for the top attribute means that it's absolutely positioned. And it's going up 10 pixels. And we want to change that on click, of course. So once we click on it, did I lose internet again? Okay, never mind. So with F10, hello. Okay. So if we use F10, then we can go to the next line. So our original CSS is minus 10 pixels. Okay, very well. So we know that. And then to enter the function, it's a little bit tricky, because if you use F11, we hit the jQuery library. So we don't want to do that, because as you can see, it's a little bit unreadable like that. So let's just try it again. We select our functions.js. And now, as soon as we enter the toggle, then the breakpoint will hit. So, okay, start debugging again. Refresh. Nothing will happen now, which is good. And when we click, that's where the first function will be executed. So what we actually do is we make a CSS map. We can add more CSS in there, and we will switch the top from minus 10 to 85. And we will say the target, like, look animate. And in here, we enter our CSS object, what we have defined in this line. We will use a timing function. So this is in milliseconds. And this is actually an easing function. And an easing function is another library that I use to create better animations, better flows of objects, better transformations, actually, in where we can define our animation itself. So let's execute it, F10. And I think we just need to press play. And our layer will go down by 95 pixels, of course, because we were coming from minus 10. And once we click again, it will go into the second function. So, and that's a little bit how toggle works. It will execute one function, and once you're done with it, you click it again, and it will execute the other function. So for easing, it's actually also just adding a library to the head. And this is what you can find here. It's a very nice library if you want to do animations. And what it actually does is it gives you a couple of strings. And the strings are actually functions. So also very mathematical. It's a little bit over my head, but those guys are making libraries like this. I mean, they're there to use it, of course. And all these functions, it's something we can try out on the website I showed you here. So you can try out all the functions, and every other function will do another animation. So let's try easeOutExpo, for instance. Let's change it, and let's see what it does. So going back to functions. This was the one. We're still in the animation. Okay. So let's refresh. Control F5. Let's hit click. And okay, so now the first function is called. We can remove this breakpoint. I think you know it by now. Press play and see what it does. So it's a different animation right now. Also different timing if you want. So let's try 1 second and a half. So it's a millisecond, so it's times 1000. So it's a little bit slower. And you can play with these animations, of course, in a way that you have nice animations, but also on buttons, on, like, for instance, on the Belhacom website, we use like star rating. So let me just show you. So rating of a movie, for instance, it's all jQuery and it's all animations where we just actually select with a CSS selector the current item, we go with a previous function in jQuery to all the other items, and we all highlight them as we do the mouse over. So it actually works pretty nice. And basically, CSS3 and jQuery, for me, they've changed my way of slicing web design. As I mentioned before, coming back from 10 years of development, where you use background images for rounded corners and for almost everything that you do. I mean, CSS3 is really improving my timing in slicing, the way you can make results, quick results, where a lot of rounded corners are actually key to the design. And I'm actually very happy that I've been able to talk to you about this today, because I believe that it's a new way of slicing. It's a new way of looking at things in where that you need to perform quickly. So if there are any questions, it's all clear. Yes? You mean the console?
Yeah.
Yes. Of course we can use the console. I'll demonstrate it with the function that we did here. So anything in particular that you want to debug? So you do console.log, and we can add the CSS variable in there. So whenever we hit the first function and whenever we hit the second function, we can see what the value of CSS is at that time of executing the function. So okay, it's a nice question. Let's see what it does. Press F12. I think we need to reload first. So refresh. So we need to add a little breakpoints, of course. Or actually, no, we don't need to add breakpoints, because we can just use the console. So, okay, I tried to play around with font phase. It's also something new. Let me do it this way. No. Please duck. Thank you. So, okay, start debugging. Where did it go? So now it's saying object, object. So, okay, we're not much with that. So let's try something else. I think we need to specify the CSS object itself, because actually we are creating a map here, and in the map itself there we have the keywords top. So let's see if we can get a hold on the object itself. Nope, for the moment not. Maybe it works like this. Also, IntelliSense is already giving me the solution to the problem. So maybe let's try again. We can do it like this. Let's hit refresh. Animation starts, click, and we get our 85 pixels in there right now, and then the minus 10 again. So that's how I would use the debugger. But you can always do at watch or set breakpoints at watch, and then you have every value that you want to check, also every function that you can check. So I think console debugging, I used it before, but I stepped away from it because now we can do at watch and just see whatever is inside of the object itself that it's holding. So for me, it's a big improvement working like that. Any other questions? Yes? Yes, correct. Exactly. Yes. So, unfortunately, I cannot show you how I did it, but it's not difficult to explain. We actually used better CSS selectors, or more to the idea, or not idea, like imaginary idea, but the idea of the CSS itself. So, whenever you have an idea in layers, you just match, like, instance, for every page, there was an ID, like, okay, this is the page that we're working on. And we could separate it that way. Because if every page has a different ID, and every page had a different, or the language was there added as a class, we can have a whole list of IDs just for the page, and we can start working separately. So another person could be working on another page, just when it stays inside the CSS selector itself. So it actually worked pretty good, because the basic classes we could use for rounding down corners, as you can see, and the typical page layout, we can just match it with CSS itself just by a page ID. Just add it to the body and a language ID as a class, and you have every separation in there in your CSS file that you need. So that's how we did it actually in Scrum. And it affected our code a little bit, Scrum. So that's actually one of the biggest changes that were there to develop in Scrum methodology.